Good morning, church. It's good to see you today. As has become, I guess, our tradition for these services, Mark's going to lead us in singing, and Norman's going to take care of the Lord's Supper. If you need some communion supplies, make sure you grab those. And then also, I was asked about, and we'll do some this week, that some people prefer the bigger baggies with the bigger bread and grape juice. And so we'll make some more of those this week. We'll make some smaller size crackers and get those individually wrapped. So we'll have those. We'll get those up there for you next Sunday, just to kind of replenish the supplies if you're running out. And then at the end of the service, of course, we will talk about announcements, prayer requests, and lift everything up that that we know about and share with. So I wanted to open up this morning from Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. At the very end of this prophet's book, he ends on a high note, and this will get us ready for today's lesson. We're going to be in Habakkuk, so you can find that and keep a finger in it or put a piece of paper in it. But at the end of this prophet's letter, the end of his discussions with the Lord, the end of his time in going back and forth and just having things revealed to him, he has this wonderful conclusion. It's very encouraging, and I wanted to share it this morning. Habakkuk 3:17. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Encouraging words from the prophet that no matter what is going on around us, no matter how bad or ugly it gets, our joy and our strength are in the Lord, and the Lord will not fail us. So we too can rejoice. We too can praise His name. We too can once again affirm our faith and our trust in what He is doing. And then at the end, His power and authority will remain. So let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we'll start our song service. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together in your name today. We are very grateful to be able to fellowship together, to be able to sing songs of praise, to be able to once again affirm our confession of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior. We are grateful to be encouraged by your word. We are grateful, Father, to share in your Holy Spirit. And we pray, Father, that whatever the world looks like around us, that we will always remember that our strength and our joy are found in you. That you will carry us through, and that you will do so in such a way that our hearts are filled with love and peace, that our faces shine with the light that you put within us. Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name. You alone are worthy of praise. You alone are worthy to be worshiped, to be adored. Father, we give you all that we have. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for forgiveness of sins that we enjoy. We thank you for drawing us near through his sacrifice. And Father, as many days as you allow us, whatever it looks like, we will not stop singing praises to your name. I pray, Father, that you watch over us, that you increase our faith each day, that you draw us nearer to yourself and to each other. I ask your blessings, Father, upon the body here. I pray that you open our eyes, that you give us wisdom from above, so that we may see things as you see things. I pray, Father, that you protect our hearts when tempted with fear. I pray, Father, that you remind us that the Spirit of your Son, Jesus Christ, dwells within the temple of our hearts, and there is no room for death. There is no room for sin. There is no room for fear. There is no room for hatred, for we are full. Blessed be your name. We pray through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Number 108, 108.
The Lord is in his home.
Fifty-seven.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest. compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Which one to sing? Yeah, we'll sing that one. I need thee every hour, number 837.
I need thee every hour, most great. gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to
Before the Lord's Supper, let's sing number 335.
In memory of the Savior's love, we keep the sacred feast, where every humble, contrite heart is made a welcome guest. By faith we take the bread of life, with which our souls are fed. The cup in token of his blood, which was for sinners shed. Beneath his banner, thus we sing the wonders of his love, and hear and anticipate by faith.
Before I start my remarks, I came across a verse this week I think is apropos for the times. It comes from Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I want to spend just a moment on Jacob as opposed to Nebuchadnezzar last week. He was born holding his brother's heel, took advantage of Esau for his birthright, conspired with his mother for Isaac's blessing, made a conditional vow to God, if God will be with me, then the Lord will be my God. And this after God had made an unconditional promise to Jacob. He cheated his father-in-law. He left secretly. His wife, Rachel, stole her father's idols. He wrestled a man and had his name changed, suffered the evil deeds of his sons, and we were told of Joseph's divination cup. But in Hebrews 11:21, at the end of his life, it says, by faith Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. Let us pray. Dear God, once again we humble ourselves before you in awe of your holiness. We thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus and for giving him to us as our advocate. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's pray again. Dear God, once again we come before you to honor and praise you. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's sing number 490, number 490.
490.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul, and Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul.
Please mark number 524. We'll sing number 524 after the lesson.
Before we get in the Word this morning, I wanted us to give thanks in prayer It is such a wonderful thing to be living under the new covenant of God in Jesus Christ. To be able to take his body and drink that blood spilled for us, and to know that God's promise to us is, I will remember your sins no more. Wow. Wow. That is good stuff. We are glad that you are here. Glad that the Lord has strengthened you to get through the week and to join us today to lift him up in praise and worship. And as we go into his word, let's pray for eyes to see. Our Father in heaven, we praise your holy name, and we thank you for allowing us to draw near today. Heavenly Father, we are not here by our own strengths or abilities. We are here because of your strength. We are here because of your might. We are here, Father, because we believe and we confess that you alone are God. We are here, Father, because we believe and we confess that Jesus Christ is your only Son, and that his sacrifice for sins is necessary for us to live a life close to you, for us to be redeemed, set apart, and forgiven, and for us to have our eternal hope with you for all eternity. Blessed be your name. And Father, as we look at your word this morning, as we are encouraged by your scriptures, I pray that you give us eyes to see. I pray that you use your own words to strengthen our faith, to let us lean upon you more and more each day. Father, we do not fear the evil in the world around us. We trust you. And we pray, Father, if that evil encroaches upon us, if the enemy makes our lives uncomfortable, difficult, even unbearable, that we will hold fast our confession, that we will trust you to the end. Blessed be your name. We pray together in the name of Jesus. Amen. Two things I love about God. There's a longer list, but there's two important things that I really love about God that I want to talk about this morning. Number one, he answers prayer. And he takes care of us. That when we go to him, he hears us. He knows what we need before we even put it into words. And he provides what we need. Now, all that's number one. Number two, you know what I really love about God? He has a better imagination than I do. His imagination is endless, is countless. That so many times I have prayed and made a request of God and said, God, here's my problem. Here's how I think you need to fix it. And in his wonderful imagination, in his wonderful vision of all things, not only what's happening in my life, but what's happening in the lives of others, in his eternal perspective, that God has a way of answering prayers in ways that I never would have thought. And what I've learned over the years, that God has a way of answering prayers, not only to prove to me that he really is taking care of me, but he answers my prayers in such a way so that it pulls me along for greater faith. So that it causes me not just to stand here and receive what I ask for and say, thank you, Lord, thank you for taking care of that. But he answers in such a way that it brings me away more from myself and closer to him. I love that God has a better imagination than me. You and I are guilty of that, right? You know what I'm talking about. God, I have a problem and here's the solution, so go ahead and get on that for me. Right? I mean, when we take our problems to God, we're doing what we're supposed to. But when we tell God, I know what the best solution is and try to limit God in answering in a specific way or in a specific parameter. Because you know, God, you've read the stories. God loves to do unexpected things. God loves to blow our minds. And he does so because it keeps us humble. It keeps us humble. And God knows and sees things that you and I, in our limited view and capacity, could have no idea what he's got going on. Have no idea. And so I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful for the ways in which he has answered prayers in ways that I could not have seen working out. Here's a couple of thought about. Have you ever prayed because you had trouble at work? God, I'm dealing with this stuff at work, and work has become very difficult, and because it's such a large part of our lives, and God answers by getting you fired? No. Lord, that is not what I had in mind. I mean, I wanted you to fix the work problem. And he goes, I did. You no longer have that work problem. Right? Yeah. It's a great example. Have you ever had a problem with an enemy and God says, hey, you know what to do for your enemies? You pray for them. And you pray for your enemy, you pray for your enemy, you pray for your enemy, and God just moves you. He just completely moves you. Or he moves them. Just gets them out of your life. Well, Lord, I really didn't want to pack up the family. That's not how I would have seen that. I mean, that's uncomfortable. That's not the answer I would have provided. Oh, here's one of my favorites. Have you ever prayed for God to take care of a small problem in your life? And nothing's too small for God, so I'm not shaming you for taking small things to the Father. But have you ever been in a situation where you've got a small problem and you say, Lord, I need you to take care of this? And his answer is, here's a bigger problem. Lord, that is not what I meant. I just wanted you to take care of the small problem. He says, look, have you, it's been 3 days. Have you thought about that small problem once? No. Exactly! God has a wonderful way and a beautiful imagination of solving things in ways that we would not have thought about. I want you to go back and find, if you weren't there, go back to Habakkuk. We're going to be there this morning. I've been in Habakkuk all week. And really, honestly, the reason why Lord has brought me to Habakkuk this week is really because of one specific verse. And I shared with Ben, we were filming Wednesday night, and I could, the Lord just put it in my heart. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth shut their mouth. And I said, Ben, I cannot wait till I don't have to say anything more about Jesus and nobody else is making all the noise coming out of their faces. I cannot wait. That's what I'm looking forward to most, Jesus returning, is everyone will just shut their mouth. Oh, I was on fire. I was on fire. I just want it to be quiet. I just want it to be quiet in his presence. And so that's why God brought me to Habakkuk, but since I was there, he was doing a few more things. The prophet Habakkuk is believed to be in the 7th century, that is somewhere 600-something years before Jesus shows up. And the prophet Habakkuk, we don't know a lot about him. I did find one interesting theory. I won't share it with you. It was, I don't know if it's true or not, but it's just a theory. Anyway, this prophet comes up. He's one of the minor prophets, which means he has a short letter in the Old Testament. And he comes to God, and he's got a problem. He's got a problem. He says, Lord, it's bad down here. It's just unacceptable. And honestly, Habakkuk's problem is similar to what we are going through today. Habakkuk's problem is very similar to what you and I face in the world today. So, let's take a look at this problem, because this amazing lesson here in Habakkuk is that God's answer was not the one that the prophet expected at all. Habakkuk chapter 1, the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you'll not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? Why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed. Justice never goes forth, for the wicked surround the righteous. So justice goes forth perverted. So the prophet cries out to God, God, we've got a problem down here. It's bad. People are just acting evil. People are not doing the right things. And justice is being perverted. Justice is not being allowed to be seen in the lives of your people. And he lifts this up to God and he cries this up to God. And again, the Lord bringing me to Habakkuk, I'm like, wow, Habakkuk, I feel your pain. I mean, you've seen it on TV, you've seen it on your newsfeed, and you're like, what is going on? What is this? Because it's not what we recognize, is it? It's not what we grew up with. It's not what we're used to. It's not what we enjoy. We don't enjoy when lawlessness goes unchecked. We don't enjoy when injustice rules the day. We don't enjoy when it's just the louder or the larger group that gets their way. We don't enjoy that. Habakkuk doesn't either. He says, God, how long are you going to sit up there and let this happen? How long are you going to let it get this bad down here? Because I know you care. I know you care, and I know that you can fix this. So how long are you going to sit up there and not fix this? So there's the problem. And I'm reading Habakkuk going, yeah, amen, brother. I feel your pain, right? Then God answers. Look at God's solution. Verse 5. Look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astounded. For I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans. That's the Babylonians. That bitter and hasty nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are dreaded and fearsome. Their justice and dignity go forth from themselves. Ooh. Uh-oh. The prophet cries out to God, God, we've got a problem down here. People are being very evil and it's very nasty. And God says, okay, I'm going to do something. You're not going to believe it. I'm going to bring something even more evil to take care of your present nasty. Lord? Really? Now, we shouldn't be surprised. You know your Bible. We shouldn't be surprised. What God's saying is, oh yeah, the Babylonian exile, it's coming. Wasn't coming tomorrow, was it? Uh-uh. No, see, that's not till the end of the 6th century. So I don't know exactly how many years from this message that God gave Habakkuk, but it's safe to say in the 40-50 range. 40-50 years! God says, I'm fixing this. How many of you have prayed, Lord, this has been a rough summer, please end it by August? Right? This has been horrible. 2021 cannot look like this, Lord. We've suffered for 3, 4, 5 months being separated and made to fear. Now, number one, we trust that the Lord hears us. Number two, we trust that the Lord's in charge and he's going to take care of us. Number three, uh-oh. He might use something nastier to fix it. He's got a track record of doing this, right? God has a track record that says, oh, there's some bad? Well, I'll show you bad. And he allows something worse to show up. Two things. Church, God's answer to our present situation may be more painful than what we're actually going through right now. Now, I'm not saying stop praying, okay? Lord, Lord, don't listen to Michael. Don't answer his prayers. I just want it nice and easy. Get us back to normal. God's answer to our prayer of seeing us through our present troubles may be uglier than our present troubles. Prepare. You hear me? God's got a way. God's got a way of making an example. You and I have a way of praying with, Lord, I want it like Christmas. Make the bow tied up just neat and perfect. And if you can get this done before my major family event that I have scheduled within the fall, that would be great. And God has a way of saying, eh, I don't see time as you see time. You can wait. Well, we can't wait. It's horrible. Nah, can't be that horrible because I don't hear enough of you praying out loud to me. Can't be that horrible because you're concerned about 6 feet. I don't even hear your songs. You're not crying out to me. You're not really uncomfortable. Your worship's not even any louder than it was before. You sure you got a problem down there? Number two, God can use evil to accomplish his purposes. We cannot. You hear me? God can use evil. He can allow a nastier to come in and fix the present nasty. You and I are not afforded such liberties. Let's take a look at the New Testament and see why not. Okay? Because it's not just me talking. Go over to Romans chapter 12. We're going to come back to Habakkuk, but I want us to go over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Go down to verse 17. Romans 12, 17, the Apostle Paul writes, "Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of everybody. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with everyone. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Now, church, we have to hear this. We absolutely have to hear this. And why does the Apostle Paul tell us this? Because God can bring in a Babylonian, and you can go back to Habakkuk. We're not going to read the whole description of Babylon, the Chaldeans. They are awful. The exile in the Old Testament was horrible. But God brought in the awful and the horrible to knock his own people down for their lack of faith. They weren't true to him, so he punished them. And he punished them with something pretty evil. God can do that. God can use evil to get his good purposes accomplished because he will not or cannot be overcome by that evil. You and I are not like God in that way. That's why Romans 12 says this is God's fight. This is God's fight. It's not your fight to fight like the world fights. If you and I try to answer evil with evil, what happens? We become evil. So he warns us, do not overcome evil with evil. You don't do that. You overcome evil with good. So if God wants to use some evil to take care of our present situation, that is, if God's going to upset the whole world, shake things up, because I know a lot of us are just praying, Lord, just give us our good America back and just put everything back to cherry pie and baseball and just give us all that good stuff again. What if God's answer doesn't look like a Christmas present that we can all go, back to normal? We can admit it's getting nasty, right?
I mean, we can admit the level of godlessness in our time is whew, exciting. So should we be surprised when God says, all right, I'm bringing some pain to take care of this? Now, look, it could be Jesus. If it's Jesus and we are in those times in which the Lord is coming very quickly and that's how he's going to answer this, praise be to God. And it may not be Jesus. God's answer may be more pain. Because until Jesus, until that last punishment, it's going to be a lot of pain. And those of us who are faithful to him are going to experience some of that pain at the hands of evil men. I better be ready. You better be ready. And again, church, we've talked about this a little bit. I'm not pessimistic. I'm not doomsday-ish. I just believe God. I believe what he says. I also believe what he's called us to. And I also believe, we're people. We're not even smart enough to not repeat history. We're repeating history. Everything that we're seeing around us, it's been done. It's been done. And it didn't go too well last time. So it's very easy to see where things are headed. I better be ready. I better be ready because, honestly, we humans, our imagination is not that good. All we can do is, what'd they do last time? Yeah, let's try that. We stick with the good. That's how we win our enemies, because God says here in Romans chapter 12, you leave room for God's wrath. You don't get to wrath on others. You don't get to do that. People are mistreating me? All right, well then I'll just answer evil for evil. I'll out evil them. No, 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 no. You're better than that. You've been redeemed. You're God's children. That's not how we win over the lost. That's not how we win over the suffering. That's not how we win over the pained in heart. Watch the news. Do you think those people are not pained in their hearts? Do you think what is going on is being carried out by those who are filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Uh-uh. Our job and our role is not to be mad at them and not to hate them. Our job is to have pity on them and to love them and to serve them. Anybody remember Jesus? Came into this world, and instead of giving us all what we deserved, he viewed us with pity and love and mercy. He didn't treat us how we deserve to be treated. He showed us grace. And church, that's how you and I are called to live in this world. Painful as it may become. Let's go back to Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2 begins with Habakkuk going, in chapter 1 after Jesus promises the pain, Habakkuk goes, well, Lord, you know, you're too good for that. You're too good to look at evil. You shouldn't be. Why trouble yourself with so much evil? So I'm just going to sit here and I'm just going to wait and see what God says about that. That's how chapter 2 starts. I love it. Habakkuk's an optimist. You got to be an optimist, though, to be a prophet. So, what God does in Habakkuk chapter 2 is he comes out with all these woes. And he's basically going to slam every person. And remember, these are should be God's people. They know better, and they're not acting better. Okay? These are God's children that are not acting the way that they're supposed to. And he's going to pronounce all these woes. He said, if you do this, ooh, it's coming. If you do this, it's coming. If you do this, but what Habakkuk chapter 2, he bookends all these woes at the beginning and the end of this chapter with two very famous verses that you and I know because they're repeated in the New Testament quite often. So it's kind of good stuff. Hebrews chapter 2. Here it is. Let's go to verse 3. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. So God says, look, my answer is not going to be immediate, but you trust it because it will happen. I will answer this injustice. I will fix things. If it seems slow, what are we told to do? Wait for it. God says, if my promise seems slow to you, you do not lose patience. You have faith. You trust me. You do not fall away. If things get very, even more difficult for us, we don't say, oh, well, I guess God's not answering. I guess he's not really there. I guess he doesn't really love us. I guess he doesn't care. Some will turn away when it gets difficult. Some will turn away when it gets uncomfortable. Some will turn away when it gets painful. Wait for it. Wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. And then verse 4. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith or by his faithfulness. And that one rings a bell, right? Yeah, we know that one. Sure do. It's in Romans chapter 1. Paul uses it in Romans 1. He uses it in Galatians 3. He quotes this line, the righteous shall live by their faithfulness. It's also quoted in Hebrews chapter 10, and I want us to take a look at that one. So we're not done with Habakkuk, but we're going to Hebrews 10. Because Hebrews 10, this gets quoted with some excellent instruction. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, go to verse 32. The righteous shall live by his faith. Hebrews 10:32 says, but recall the former days when after you were enlightened, that is after you became a Christian, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. That is, just because you became a Christian doesn't make you immune to the troubles of this world. You still went through difficult times. Okay, we all know this. We can relate to this. This is truth. Now go down to verse 36. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. If he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. So Hebrews connects, uses God's very words from Habakkuk chapter 2, and he connects it with the coming of Jesus. Okay? God does this all the time. It's why Scripture is repeated, because when God says it, it's so good and it's so true, it's timeless. It's timeless. And so he uses these words in Hebrews, and he says, look, if it's delayed, trust it, because he's coming back. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is coming back into this creation. And we know what that's going to look like. We know what he's bringing with him. Justice. Justice. And so we are not those who live in fear and shrink back, because when we shrink back, when we let go of our faith and say, oh, well, how long has it been? He's not coming. I'm just going to live my life for me. That's not good. We'll not be rewarded. We'll be punished. That's not us. That's not us. We're not those who know the truth and just choose to ignore it or just get scared because life around us is so painful that we're just going to give up. That's not us. We are those who endure till the end. That's who we are. Because God's promises are good. You and I don't get to look at God and say, well, how long, Lord? How much more pain? How much more suffering? How much more destruction of this nation that I love? You know what your father's saying, right? It's difficult to say, it's difficult to hear. You are Christians before you are Americans. Because only one of those two kingdoms is lasting into eternity. Hope I didn't burst any bubbles. The kingdom of our Lord is the only one that's going to make it. That's it. Our citizenship is in heaven. And from our home, we await a Savior, our King. We endure. That's our job. God will answer with justice. That's his job. Back to Habakkuk. One more time. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20. And this is, we sang this song today. And this was the verse that, God just put in my heart this week and said, Michael, here. Because, I mean, I don't know about you. I'm tired of saying it and I'm tired of hearing it. I won't stop saying it because it needs to be said. But I'm just tired of all the noise. This week I was just absolutely tired of all the noise. And he gave me this, Habakkuk 2:20. God says, after pronouncing all these woes and all the evil, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. When all the noise is going on around us, we are not called to add to it. We're not called to add to it. The wisdom of Solomon is useful. Think of Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1. It says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes with much busyness, and a fool's voice with many words. So Ecclesiastes, that's Ecclesiastes 5, 1 through 3, echoes this sentiment. God is in his house. And when we come to him, we need to listen. We need to listen. Because everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got a belief. Everybody's got an idea of how long this is going to last, or how long that's going to last, or what this is being done to us, or what that is being done to us, or if this is real, that is real, or that's just a trap, or that's just a trick, or this is political, or this is... The Lord is in his holy temple, and those of us that recognize it, God is good. God is good. He has not gone anywhere. And as much of a mess as we make of it down here, the Lord is in his holy temple. We can be silent before him. And there's coming a day when the whole world will be silent before him. For when he appears, there will be nothing to say. It will be true power. It will be true justice. It will be everything. There'll be nothing to say. So when you must speak now, make sure that you're speaking good. When you must speak now, make sure that you're speaking truth. There's enough, and so many want to add to the cacophony of all just the noise of everything going on around us. Church, we need to be praising the name of our Lord and Savior. We need to be sharing the good news of Jesus. Those are the words that don't get old. Those are the words that only bless the hearer. God's words. I'm going to wrap it up in 2 Corinthians 1. The last one this morning. God's answer to all of this is Jesus. We know this, right? God's answer to all the world's trouble is Jesus. That's God's answer. That is the answer he has given to his creation, Jesus. This is the word that we speak. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Go to verse 19. 2 Corinthians 1:19 says, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not yes and no, but in him it is always yes. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That's why it's through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. All our answers are found in Jesus. And so Paul tells us, that's why we pray in his name. That's why we pray in his name. Okay? It's not a Church of Christ tradition. That's not what it is. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ to the glory of God. That's why we say that. In Jesus' name, amen. We recognize the glory of our great high priest that we must go through to get to the Father, because there is no other name on heaven or earth that must be confessed to get to the Father. There is no one else that brings salvation except for the Son. His is the name above all names. And so we pray in his name, because his name is also the greatest authority. His name is the greatest power. It's also, Paul says, why we walk in his Spirit. We walk in the Spirit of Christ. We are filled. Remember when those sins were forgiven? Remember when you were baptized? Washed clean. You cleaned out the house. What did you fill it with? The Spirit of God. Right? You are now a worthy house for the Lord. And he fills it with the very Spirit of Jesus Christ. So we walk in that Spirit. Where does Jesus need to go? That's where I better be this week. Who does Jesus need to talk to? That's who I better talk to this week. Who does Jesus need to rescue? That's who I better be reaching out for this week. Where he would go, I must go. So Paul reminds us of that as well. And then we are saved by his death. We are saved by his death. We celebrated it in the meal of our Lord today. We're reminded over and over again that our sins are forgiven and we are saved. We have been snatched from death from the one who came back from the grave. We are saved by Jesus Christ. Not our own doing. We're not following him because we're hoping to build our own little stairway or our own little temple up to reach him. We are low. We are humble. He's in heaven. We're on earth. And we trust the sacrifice and the death of Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. He was happy and willing to do it. And you and I that have accepted it, we live it. So if you're not a Christian this morning, we invite you to come and become one. And since most of you already are, we invite you this morning to be one. Let's stand together and sing.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me.
few announcements I wanted to share with you. And then please feel free to share with us anything that's going on this week that we need to keep in our prayers, that we need to lift up,
or that we need to know that is happening. All right. First thing is I wanted to introduce to you Chris and Linda. Chris and Linda, I met them yesterday, and they are the ones that are responsible for Huey and Nadia always having a car when they were in the States. So they are a part of the ministry of helping the Diogos with their ministry. And so the Lord brought us together yesterday, and they were kind enough to join us in worship this morning. So please welcome them after services. But this is a brother and sister in Christ who are involved in the work. And so I thought everybody would appreciate that. And I told you guys they would appreciate that. And since we know how Huey drives, we really appreciate it. So, welcome them, and we're just very glad that the Lord brought them with us today. Rex, August 10th? Okay. Rex is having surgery August 10th, taking out the gallbladder, and then checking things out and see where we're at. Okay. All right. So, August 10th, keep that day in your prayers and keep Rex in your prayers, that God will just heal him and take that cancer and remove it so that surgery will go well. Rita, did you get a date, an appointment, or anything? Okay. Insurance approval. Okay, so we are praying for Rita. She needs a checkup and a screening, and so we are praying that she gets that date as soon as possible. So keep her in your prayers, okay? Robert and Janet aren't here today. They thought one more Sunday was a good idea, but they're good. They're clear. Robert's feeling better. He's all done. Janet's feeling better, but then she still has her good and her bad days. So he said so much of it is she's done with COVID, but she's still dealing with all the health stuff that she was dealing with anyway. But I also know that on August 6th, they have to go back to Amarillo to check with her back doctor, the one that did her implants, her rods in her back. So they'll do that August 6th. But they are feeling better. They're up and about. Garrett's back to 100%. So, and the other two grandkids went home, I think Friday. I think they went home Friday. So they're doing good. Okay. What else? What else do we need to know about this week? What do we need to lift up, Kathy? You said chemo Monday and then radiation after that, or in the afternoon?
Okay.
And the last you talked to him, Greg's not better yet. He's still fighting. Yes.
Michael, that was a very good and timely and needed sermon that I really
To him be the glory. That's his word. His word. Yeah, but I got to be like Habakkuk. It's there's no glory in being the messenger. All right, what else? Okay. So take the vegetables and then take some more vegetables. Okay? Don't leave any vegetables. I'll make sure by second service that they will be gone. So if they're not all gone here, that's fine. We'll leave some for the younger crowd. They need vegetables too, don't they? My wife makes me eat some. All right, anybody else? Oh, okay. All right, let's lift these up.
And I don't know how many know, but Nadia's sister passed away this past week. And we won't keep dealing.
Go back and read Habakkuk this week. Read the whole thing. We didn't have time. Well, I always have time, but you wouldn't have had time for us to read the whole thing this morning. But it's a fantastic read, but everything that reminds us that God is in control. Look, it doesn't look like we wish it looked. The sooner we get over that, the better. Okay? A nostalgic faith will probably not get through the coming chapters, church. And chapters are coming. Chapters are coming.
So we only have one thing to do?
One thing to do? Well, no, you got to live it. You got all things to all people. That's what you got to do. But yeah, your study, read Habakkuk. Read Habakkuk, that's right. Read Habakkuk and serve others. All right. Let's go to our Father in prayer. And if you're not checking it out, we still do have the service online on Wednesdays, and it's an actual video service. We record audio now that since we're here. We just audio record Sundays. So it's available, but Wednesdays I'm still videoing. And if you're not listening to the Wednesdays, I would, because Wednesdays are really fun. So I'm just saying. Not fun because I'm doing it. I'm not looking for likes. Yeah, I don't need you to share it with anybody, but you need it in the middle of the week. And it's powerful stuff because God's not silent. So I would encourage you if you haven't been checking that out. All right, let's go to our Father in prayer. And then as we go, if you have giving to take care of, it's out in the foyer. We'll fellowship outside. Have a wonderful week. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us together in your holy name. And first and foremost, Father, we praise you. We thank you for your gifts in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for granting us faith. And I pray that you restore our faith today, that you strengthen us, that we will not waver, but we will hope and trust you in all things. Father, fill us with your Spirit. We need more. We need more. And let us be vessels that are ready to be filled. Father, we love you. We praise you. We give you all glory, and we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Father, for opening our eyes that your answer to our prayers may not look the way we think it should. But let us trust that you are God, that you are in heaven and we are not. Heavenly Father, let us walk in the steps of Jesus this week. Let us bear the shame of the cross, knowing that in eternity it is all glory. Strengthen us here at Sunrise, Father, so that we may be faithful to you. Father, we thank you for Chris and Linda joining us today. We thank you for their work in your kingdom, and we ask your blessings to be upon them. Father, we are grateful that Rex has a date for his surgery, and we pray that it will go well, that it will be good for his body, for his health, and for his strength. We pray, Father, that you bless him with healing. Heavenly Father, we ask that you provide a date for Rita to get her checkup. We pray, Lord, that you work in her for good. We pray, Lord, that her faith is strong, that she trusts you and knows that she's in capable hands, and that whatever's in her future, that you will be with her, that we will be with her, and that you will bless her. Heavenly Father, we thank you for seeing Robert, Janet, and Garrett, and the grandkids through COVID, and we just pray that you restore them. We pray that they can get back to us soon, and we just ask that you be with their bodies and their minds as they recover, and just remove any lasting effects. Heavenly Father, we lift up Augie and his family, and we just pray for strength and healing. We pray, Lord, that your messengers will surround them and uplift them and just keep them standing, and keep his parents strong as they do what they need to do for him. And we just pray that he continues to battle. Heavenly Father, we lift up Connie, and we just pray. We pray that you bring healing to her body. We pray that you bring her the victory. Father, we lift up the facilities all around that are battling COVID. We pray that you be with the nurses and the doctors and the service providers. We pray that you be with the members of these facilities, that you strengthen their bodies and just be with them in their faith. Lord, we lift up Richard, and we pray that as he prepares for his treatments this next week, that you will send an extra measure of your grace to be with him, to be with his family. We pray, Father, that you bring healing to this cancer. We pray, Father, that you give him strength to endure the treatments, that you bless them. Father, we lift up Greg, and we ask for healing for his shingles, that you work in his body for good, that right now you just lessen his pain and take away these rashes. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you be with Romeo and his family and their loss. Comfort them, Lord, as only you can. And we lift up the Diogos and their loss this week. And we pray, Lord, that you send those to minister to them while they are so busy ministering to others. We just pray that you strengthen their hands, that they will be constant in prayer and in service to your kingdom. Heavenly Father, we lift up Anna's mother as she's fading away, and we pray for peace. We pray that you be with Anna and her family. We pray, Lord, that those that do not know you will have their eyes opened. We pray, Father, that the difficult things that we are going through in the world right now will be the thing that opens people's eyes to you. Let us live in faith and trust. Let us not fall victim to fear. Let us not go back. Let us not feign ignorance. Increase our faith, Father. We love you. We praise you. We glorify your name. All this the church does together through the name of Jesus Christ, as with this prayer. Amen.